Eugene. I'm Dorothy Graves, and this is Science Cafe Little Rock. We're here on 89.1 KUAR the fourth Tuesday of every month from 6:05 to 6:30 to talk about a science topic and give you the chance to call in with your questions. Our number here in the studio is 569-8494. That's area code 501. 569-8494. And tonight we are talking about hibernation. Joining me in the studio, I have Myron Means. He is the large carnivore coordinator with the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission. Myron, thank you for being here.
Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
All right. So what's hibernation? What are we talking about tonight?
Well, I'm specifically going to talk about black bears. That's kind of my species of choice. I've worked with black bears in Arkansas for about 21 years. And, you know, there's been a great debate for, several years now as to whether or not black bears were actually true hibernators. It went along in the science community for several years, and they thought, well, because they don't lower their body temperature that much, they only lower it to about 88 degrees through the denning process or the hibernation process, they weren't really considered to be true hibernators, like a groundhog or woodchuck, something like that. And then in recent years, a lot more in-depth research has been done on it. And they've actually kind of turned that around to labeling bears as highly efficient hibernators. Because even though they don't lower their body temperature, the remarkable processes that their bodies go through during the denning cycle or during their hibernation cycle, even in Arkansas with the moderate temperament that we have here in the state, it's a remarkable process, and they truly are highly efficient hibernators.
So not only are they hibernators, they're super hibernators.
They're super hibernators. What you would expect from a black bear.
So what are some of those other physiological changes you were talking about that are generally used to qualify something as being hibernation capable?
Along the lines of physiological processes, bears go through the same that other true hibernators go through. They don't urinate. They don't defecate. They do go into periods of torpor.
And what is torpor?
Torpor is just, it's kind of a... stupor. It's where they lower their processes down enough to where they're kind of lethargic, they're kind of lazy, they're kind of drowsy. They can arouse from that instantly. Hence them keeping their body temperatures up at a higher rate. It allows them to arouse instantaneous. And, a true hibernator like a ground squirrel or a woodchuck, something like that, if you dug them out of their den in the middle of winter when they're at a full hibernation state, you know, you could actually roll them around on the ground for a while and they would be almost catatonic. They wouldn't really be able to move because their body temperature is lowered such a significant rate. All their metabolic processes are lowered. And they just can't move. Well, bears, because they don't lower their body temperature to a significant rate like other animals, they can arouse out of that, and their muscles are fully functional, so to speak. They may be a little groggy, but they can arouse instantly, and they usually do. When we do our den work in the middle of winter to look at reproductive and recruitment rates, you know, the females are always awake when we go in January and February. If it's a nice warm day, they're naturally going to be a lot more active. If it's a nice cold day, they can be a little lethargic, but they're always awake. They're always aware of what's going on. And, you know, black bears evolved into being in this state, having this particular type of hibernation cycle, so they can protect themselves and their cubs. Cubs are born during the winter months. And that's an evolutionary trait that they don't want to be born in the summer because of predation factors and everything else. So what better time to have cubs that are born, you know, completely helpless and dependent on their mother than when all the bears are in the dens? So,
that makes sense.
They can arouse and protect their cubs if need be. There are dangers out there to bear cubs, such as adult males. And we probably don't see a lot of that in Arkansas because our densities aren't that high. But it's a really remarkable process that they have. They'll go through their They'll complete a gestation period when they're in a hibernation cycle. They'll go through a parturition, which is the birth of the cubs, and they'll wean the cubs. And they'll do all this during the hibernation cycle.
Well, if you're just joining us, I'm talking with Myron Means. He is the large carnivore coordinator with Arkansas Game and Fish Commission. We are talking on Science Cafe this evening about black bears and hibernation. If you want to call in with your question, our number here in the studio is 569-8494, area code 501-569-8494. When does the hibernation cycle usually start for black bears here in Arkansas? And is that different for other parts of the country?
It is different for other parts of the country. In the northern regions of the United States, you know, bears may start their den cycle or hibernation cycle maybe as early as mid-October. Typically in Arkansas, sometime in November. And it's really kind of directed around food availability. If there's a lot of food on the landscape, you know, the den cycle may actually be pushed further back because they can go out and they're not at an energy deficit to gather food. But if there's not much food available, if the hard mass crop is scarce, then, you know, maybe in early November they may start their den cycle. It's more productive for them to sleep it off than to try to expend all the energy to gather food.
And what do bears eat? Remind everybody.
Everything.
So when everything is gone is when they're ready to go into hibernation.
Yeah. Typically in the fall, though, they're gonna go through a euphagic period where they gorge themselves in the late summer and fall. In the fall, it's really strongly correlated to the hard mass crop, the acorns, the hickory nuts, things like that.
It looks like we have a caller on the line. Catherine from Little Rock, can you hear me?
Yes, just barely.
Okay. What's your question for Myron?
Well, I worry that we push the bears into a small area with a lot of housing expansion, and especially due to the diminished range and then the fact that it's been so dry. Do the bears have to stock up on food before they hibernate, and do they have enough right now?
That's a very good question. They do have to stock up on food before they hibernate. They will go through a euphagic phase in the late summer and early fall where they literally gorge themselves with food, whatever they can find available, whether it's berries, nuts, any, you know, grass, anything like that. And they'll eat 18, 20 hours a day. And they go through this and they can gain actually over a pound a day when they're going through this period. So all this gorging that they do is dependent upon how they fare through their hibernation cycle. If there's not enough food in the fall, and they go into a den cycle kind of lean or underweight, so to speak, you know, they may not be able to finish a gestation with the cubs. They may not be able to give birth to the cubs. They may not be able to wean or provide nurse for the cubs. So, you know, everything that happens to them through that hibernation cycle is really dependent upon how fit they go into that cycle.
How are they doing right now with the drought?
They're doing fine. They're doing fine. I mean, you know, the bears that I had on game cameras and received pictures through the late summer and the fall, I mean, it was probably one of the best mass crops I've seen in the state, hard mass, the acorn crop, probably one of the best mass crops across the state that I've seen in about 10 years. So most of the bears in the state should have gone into a den cycle very fat and very healthy.
Good. Thank you.
You bet.
Thanks for your question, Catherine. So what about water? You mentioned food. They engorge themselves on food. What about water?
They actually gorge themselves on water, too, which, you know, studies that I've read said that typically when it's starting to get to the end of their euphagia, they will drink gallons of water a day. And that's simply to purge their system of all the bad stuff and kind of, you know, get it down to just the bare minimum, the fat in their bodies and purge the system of all the bad stuff. And then they will actually form a fecal plug with any remaining material in their gut, and it'll keep everything inside. They recycle their urea, and they actually convert nitrogen in their urea to amino acids, which feeds their muscles, keeps them from losing muscle mass. And probably one of the most remarkable things that I see in bears is they can go into a den cycle, lose as much as 25 or 30% of their body weight, and come out of a den cycle with more lean muscle mass than what they went in. So they lose just fat and not muscle.
And that, and that's due to the urea recycling?
Yes, it is. Well, it's due to a host of things, okay, but primarily because they're able to feed their muscles the amino acids and, you know, all the other nutrients that the muscles need. And, you know, a human, you know, we, soon as we start to go into a fast, first thing our body does is break down muscle tissue, you know, and bears, it's the exact opposite. I mean, I would love to be able to go to sleep for 3 months and lose all my body fat, you know, and come out all lean and mean. And but
that's a pretty good dream.
Yeah, that's pretty. That would be a good dream. But, you know, bears do it every year.
If you're just joining us, this is Science Cafe Little Rock, and we are talking about hibernation and black bears here in Arkansas with Myron Means. He's the large carnivore coordinator with Arkansas Game and Fish Commission. You can call in with your questions. The number here is 569-8494, area code 501-569-8494. How big is our black bear population here in the state?
You know, we think we have a little over 5,000 bears in the state, and it may be, you know, between 5 and 6,000. We thought it was kind of capped out at about that a few years ago, but we've been seeing continued expansion into areas of Missouri, south central Missouri, northwest or northeast Oklahoma, southwest Oklahoma, north central Louisiana. So we're doing a pretty good job of populating everybody around us. So
one thing that our previous caller was kind of leading into was the possible effects of development on their habitat and food supply. Do we see problems with that with our black bear population and you know, our how our sprawl and our development may be impacting their habitat?
You know, I'm sure on a landscape level, I'm sure there's an effect there. I mean, bears are extremely wide-ranging animals. Typical home range of a bear, adult male, may be, you know, 15 square miles, and an adult female may be 7 or 8 square miles. So when you're talking about animals that have ranges that large, you know, any urbanization or anything is going to affect, you know, whether or not it's suitable bear habitat or not. So I'm sure, you know, I'm sure development is, you know, affecting bear populations, kind of putting the squeeze on them, so to speak.
Now, black bears are all over our country, correct? All over North America?
Yes.
Do they have longer hibernation cycles up north because of the weather? Or?
Yes, they do. They do. Like I say, they'll go in a lot of times in the northern states. And matter of fact, the bear biologist in Maine, I've talked with him at length about different things, and he said by mid-October they are in their den cycle in Maine. And they, a lot of times they won't come out until April, late April, maybe even May. So, I mean, you're talking about, what, you know, seven months. So, you know, in Arkansas, it's typically going to be 5 months. And I've also read other studies that say in Florida, you know, the males may not even go through a den cycle. You know, it may be just the females that are either having cubs that year or the females that have yearlings with them from the previous winter. So.
Yeah, that was one of my questions because, you know, we can have some pretty mild winters here. So
yeah, we can. You know, and, you know, I'll get typical. It's not uncommon for me to get nuisance complaints in the middle of December. You know, males come out, nice mild day, and if there's food on the landscape, they'll roam around for a few days and look for some food and scrounge for some food and whatever. But as far as denning goes, the females will always den. They're either going to be in a den, a cub cycle, or a yearling cycle.
Now, what you've talked with us about with regard to the black bears, is that common with all bears, or is some of that specific to black bears?
No, the hibernation and, you know, going into a den cycle in the fall or a hibernation cycle in the fall, that's pretty typical of all bears. Well, all North American bears, anyway.
And where do these bears hibernate? Where would we find them? Or where do you find them? You We're know, not out looking for them like yeah. you are, but where do you find them?
It's really going to vary. I mean, you'll see them in the Ozarks. A typical den will be more of a crevice den or an overhang, something like that, some type of rock formation. In the Washitas, it tends to be more of a dugout situation because they don't have near the, you know, the limestone rock formations that they have in the Ozarks. So it's a thicket, dugout under a log. And in the southeast part of the state, in the lower White River, it's almost exclusively in tree cavities. Climb up a tree. I mean, you know, because I mean, that makes perfect sense because of the flooding regime in the fall and the White River and that part of the state. How are you going to keep your cubs safe? Climb a tree and sleep it off for a few months.
We've got John on the line. He is on the road going through Mount Ida. Thanks for calling in, John. Can you hear me? John, are you there? I think we've lost John. Let's see if we can get him back and wait a couple of minutes. Our number here in the studio, 569-8494, area code 501-569-8494. How do animals protect themselves during hibernation? Because you mentioned that the females can give birth during hibernation or they'll be still protecting their yearlings. How are they able to do that? Or, you know, what perhaps we envision as hibernation in terms of being a deep sleep is not exactly what's going on in those circumstances?
Right. The animals that, you know, say a groundhog or something like that, you know, they'll dig a pretty significant burrow down into the ground, and then they'll have a home cavity, or so to speak, that they'll push up debris and everything else to kind of block the entrance. And you know, that's really their only defense. You know, animals that are true hibernators is to get in places that predators can't get to. And bears are a little different in that fact because they can arouse spontaneously. You know, their dens are actually pretty shallow. I mean, I've seen a lot of females den right on top of the ground. They'll pull up debris and everything, look like someone's been in there with a yard rake, and they'll drag up a big bird nest of debris, and they'll just sleep right there on top of the ground. And they really don't have to worry about any predators other than male bears. And most male bears, you know, it's not really worth the fight in the middle of the winter to, you know, to try and get a cub.
And the use of their energy stores, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're smart enough to know, don't mess with mom.
All right, Carol in Little Rock, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, Carol. What's your question for Myron?
Myron, as the climate is warming and we're seeing warming trends in Arkansas, are you seeing a shift in the hibernation periods and the waking periods in the spring?
You know, I'm really not. Like I say, I've been dealing with bears in the state for about 21 years, and I haven't noticed a shift maybe in the entrance or the emergence of a hibernation cycle. It does seem that they will. You know, we just don't have cold enough weather to send a bear into a real, real lethargic state. They do seem like they're a little bit more aware, you know, whereas, you know, it seems like you used to have pretty cold winters. And those really cold days, you can sneak right up on a bear, you know, but I don't have too many of those days anymore.
Thanks for calling in, Carol. What happens whenever we, not being the bear expert that you are, when we are walking through the woods or spending some holiday time out in a cabin and we come across a bear or a bear or two or some cubs, what should we do? And what should we be thinking about for our own safety, but also, you know, for the scientists and each of us that are curious about what's going on?
Well, you know, I always tell people that bears can't hear very well. They can't see very well. They're pretty nearsighted, but they have the best nose of any land animal. So if you are, I guess, downwind of a bear, chances are they may not see you or hear you. So, I mean, the best thing to do if you encounter a female with cubs or something like that is just let your presence be known. You certainly don't want to invoke any kind of chase instinct or anything else like that, but just Let them know you're there. Make yourself appear to be bigger than normal, and just kind of back out of the situation. And, you know, I've been dealing with bears a long time, and I haven't been eaten yet. So, but, you know, they put on a pretty good bluff, but they're amazingly timid animals, believe it or not. For their size and strength, they're amazingly timid.
All right. I think we have another caller, Cheryl from Russellville or near Russellville. Can you hear me?
Sherrod.
Sherrod, thank you for the correction. Yeah. Sherrod, thank you for calling in. What's your question for Myron?
Well, I had a couple questions. I heard that bears, some bears will migrate southward in the spring, and I wasn't sure if that was true.
No, it's
I,
not.
I wanted, and I'll let you answer that question before I ask the next one.
No, it is not. They are not migrators.
Okay. How large can bears in Arkansas get? And I've never heard of a black bear attack in Arkansas, but has there been one? And I'll listen off the air.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in, Sherrod.
Yeah, thank you.
Black bears can get, actually they can get very large in Arkansas, primarily because most of the bears that we have in the mountainous region are descendants from northern cousins. Their reintroduction effort that Game and Fish had in the late 50s and 60s, they brought bears in from Minnesota and Manitoba, Canada. And, you know, there's their laws of nature called Bergman's Rule that says animals of northern hemispheres are generally larger in biomass than animals in southern hemispheres. So bears in the north are bigger than bears in the south. And that's why in Arkansas we can see 500-plus pound males. You know, it's not uncommon. We'll see 400 or 500 pound males harvested every year.
That's pretty impressive.
What was the other part of the question?
Is he still on the line?
No.
I was looking at my time.
I'm sorry, Sherrod. I forgot the second part of the question.
I was keeping up with the technical steps here, but thank you for calling in. The reason I was looking at our time is because we do have to go.
Yep.
Thank you, Myron, for being here. You've been fantastic.
Certainly my pleasure.
However, if you've enjoyed this conversation and you're in the central Arkansas area, we are moving up to Hibernia Irish Tavern. It's over on Rodney Parham in West Little Rock. We will be there from 7 to 9 tonight. Myron is going to be joined by two other panelists. We are going to continue our discussion on hibernation. However, Tom Risk, I've not talked to him. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, but he is the professor and chair of the biology department at Arkansas State University. He is going to be one of our panelists. He's going to be talking about bats. And Kelly Nichols, a certified park interpreter at Pinnacle Mountain State Park, is also going to be talking about hibernation in general. We will be up there from 7 to 9. Come and join us. Ask questions. It'll be a lot of fun. And thank you, Myron, once again for being here. For 89.1 KUAR and Science Cafe, I'm Dorothy Graves.